I'm not afraid anymore. I'm not afraid of success. I know what it costs, but I'm not afraid of it. The biggest bigwig VP can walk in my company, and I don't feel any fear in me anymore. They can shake my hand and make me feel stupid if they want to, but I'm not afraid. I know I'm not the smartest, but I know I'm not afraid. I might not be the best preacher you've ever heard. There might be somebody that you brag about on a daily basis that you love more than me, but I'm not afraid. There might be places that you've been and felt God the greatest, and you come in and say we could do so much more, but I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid of the enemy that would cause us to compromise and be anything less than what we should be, because we should all be hand clapping, jumping, dancing, shouting Christians that are proud of who they are, that are happy with their life and content with what they have. Don't be afraid of the storm, because God will not leave you in it. Don't be afraid when the devil tells you he's coming, because when he's on your tail, you're the closest place to a blessing that you could ever be. So Elijah finally gets busy, and he creates through his obedience a legacy that instilled obedience of a new generation. Friends, I'm here to tell you that when I look at you, I don't see young or old. I don't. And in fact, I'm not a good guess of age. Don't come up to me and ask me to tell you how old you are, because I would probably either insult you greatly or compliment you too much. I'm not a good guess of how old anybody is. I don't see age. I don't see male nor female, because when I look at you for who you truly are, I'm not looking at your flesh. I'm looking at the spirit that's in you, and I'm telling the spirit that's in you, it's time to stop living in fear. It's time to stop living in fear. I'm telling your spirit right now, it's time to stop living in fear and to walk in the liberty that God has given you to walk. You've got a legacy to leave behind. You've got children that need to see you being everything that you tell them they ought to be. You've got church members that need to see you being everything that you're preaching them to be. If I got up here and acted a fool for Christ and talked about worshiping the Lord and I never worshiped the Lord, you'd have every right to come up to me and tell me I'm a hypocrite. But I don't hardly ever miss an opportunity to dance. I don't hardly let a chance go by where I ever let praise leave me. If I was up here talking about anything I wasn't experiencing in my life, I'd only be a hypocrite to you. But you know what I am? I'm just as human as you are. And I feel that same discouragement that you do. And I felt the same fear that has looked at things that I could accomplish and say, I don't know if I can. There's been times I've tucked my head in my tail and took off running the other way because I didn't think I could conquer it. Do you think that when the Lord put it on me to preach and begin to come here and preach that I came willing? No, I'm here to tell you that it was one of the hardest decisions that I ever had to make, because I knew that as soon as I stepped into that calling, it was going to be a lifestyle change. It was going to be an attitude change. It was going to be a me change. And the more that you do for God, the enemy is going to come and attack you. That's the one of the biggest deceptions that people are preaching today. You don't need to tell people it's always easy. You need to remind them that it gets tough and to be ready for what is out there. Amen. There's churches, Brother Matt, we've been to sing, had an attendance of 200, had an offering the last week of like $2,000-$3,000, and lots of people that after they go in and come in and go out, deal with things they can't handle. People that are working, I mean, I had to do a funeral for a man that was a part of charitable giving, that worked in the Kimball County community, commit suicide. Brother, how can somebody that says they know God ever do that to themselves? If you get enough fear in you and not enough of God to push back the things that attack you, then you are so susceptible, just as anybody else is. Just that the fact that you know Christ does not mean that the devil's going to leave you alone. He didn't leave Jesus alone in the wilderness either. He came to him also three different ways to tempt the lust of his eye, lust of his flesh, and the pride of his life. But Jesus didn't give in to his fear. Can you imagine right before you achieved the biggest purpose that you were set forth to do, that you would have the devil to come and push you directly. I don't know if any of you have ever been visited or in contact with real demonic presence. And some of you may not be ready for this, but I'm giving it to you because it's time we learn something. There are people that are bound to drugs. They'll come up and pray. People pray for them, but they don't have the knowledge of what they need to have to even lead them to deliverance. Dealing with presences that they are not ready to handle. And I'm not talking about something that's unreferenced. Even the disciples quarreled about, well, why can't we cast this thing out that you did? He said, this comes by something with responsibility. Discipline. This comes by prayer and fasting. He said, this came by a disciplined Christian, somebody that uses what they have on a normal basis. Because if you're not praying all week long and you come in and try to lay on of hands, friends, I'm here to tell you that if they get delivered, it wasn't by your works, because God cannot prosper somebody that does not walk in the fullness of his presence. That's why we have churches that have zero on their saved mark. That's why we have people that don't, we have addicts that don't even trust the church anymore. There used to be drunks that would come in the house of God because they needed help so bad. Probably places they've traveled, they weren't ready for them. But we're talking about something far greater than substance abuse. There are people that are overwhelmed with such a lust of the flesh that they'll come to devour your home. Are we ready for this, or do I need to hold off tonight? There are going to be things that come to tempt in a level that's greater than what you even know that you can handle. And the only thing to conquer it is living a disciplined life, a righteous life, an established righteous life. And the same thing that helped them back then is the same thing that will help you to overcome this kind of fear. You know what I'm looking for? I'm not looking for people to dance. I'm not even looking for people to shout. You know what I'm really looking for? People to get past their fears. Because if you get past your fears, I'll have to get out of your way for what you're going to do. I'll finally get a break, and somebody else will get up here and start preaching something good for you. And you can brag on them. God has so much more for you. Look at somebody and say, he's got so much more for you. We have to address the things that we feel like that we can't avoid. The things that keep you up at night. That's what I'm talking about. The things that when you face them daily, you don't feel like you can win. The Bible said to resist the devil. And what will he do? Flee. You know why he would flee? Not because of any words that you say, I rebuke you, but because of the substance that causes you to say it. That which is in you that causes you to obey him is what he's afraid of. But if he can keep you afraid, you're not going to engage that presence of God. You better buckle up. Are you ready? Somebody say, I'm ready. Here it comes. Churches are only going to decline in number. People are losing their passion daily. And as evil grows more wicked, we are growing more afraid to use what we've been given to win. And I don't want to be a part of the bunch that runs to the cave. Because there's a season where you'll get away with this, but you'll face the judgment of neglecting the presence of God. To blaspheme the Holy Ghost. To look upon others that obey him in something and make fun of them, question them, act like that they don't have anything good. That's a dangerous ground to walk on. Don't beat down what you don't understand. The Bible said, try the spirits and see if it be among you. You've got to give it a shot at some point. I preached a sermon once. You got to come out of the cave. You have got to get out of what is causing you to go the other direction. It's different for every person in this room. I love my wife. I feel like that we're in a good place. I know her very well. But there's fears that I don't even know that she has. We communicate on a daily basis. We talk about what bothers us. But there's still things that she deals with and fears that are different than what I deal with. We all deal with different situations. But God didn't leave any of us in the cave, did he? He left a means. Say a means. He left a means for you to survive. And that meat which he gave lasted him 40 days and nights. We're talking about something that sustains you
beyond common means. The Spirit of God will sustain you through the storm. The greatest time I ever felt God move was when I was in the lowest despair. And if you have never got down in your lowest place and asked God for help, I dare you to try. And you see if God don't meet you there. Try it and see. Get down and call out for your children. Call out for the things that are not as though they are. You open up your voice and use what God has given you to overcome. Because one day we'll ignore sound doctrine. One day the words that you hear now will mean nothing to this generation. But what God has given you will sustain you even when we walk into that day and the last days are upon us. We read and have confirmation of the things that are happening even now. And I'm trying to get out to you. I'm trying to get past the part of you that's tired tonight. I'm trying to get past the part of you that's thinking about what you've got to do tomorrow. And I'm here to tell somebody it's time that we get a backbone and get busy for the Lord. And start using what God has blessed us to use. Because when you get to that point where it's too late, there's no promise for you. I had to stand and give a funeral for a man and speak comfort over a family of someone that went before his time. Did he make it to heaven or not, brother, sister? I don't know. But it breaks my heart to know that he went before his time. If you're wondering what you're still doing here, then you have a purpose. If you're still here, you have a purpose. I had plenty of encounters and experiences where I should be dead. And I don't share about those things because I don't give glory to them. But I should not be here. And if you've ever been through anything like that, then you know what it's like to truly know that God is real. There are children out there today. They're as young as 5, and they're in true despair. And grandparents are having to raise children because their children are in trouble. And we don't have a church today that's taking advantage of what God has given us. He didn't call us to live like the children of Israel that didn't have the Holy Spirit to dwell in them. He didn't want us to walk around without direction, but he gave us exactly what we need to sustain us. So the next time you get in a service where there's only 7 people, you look around and say, we've got more than enough. The next time you're in a service that's cold and dry, you begin to see God and you'll have more than enough. The next time you're faced with an adverse situation, you look at that thing and you say, I've got more than enough. Because I feel it in my spirit, soon God is going to send more to this place. And he's going to be redirecting my sermons towards reaching to those that need to be saved. And I don't want you to get to that point when we start going that direction and say, well, the brother's just done forgot about me and my situation. He's done left me. I'm going to the cave. He done forgot about me. I got no food. He done left me and it's just preaching to the lost. It's so much more than just being a bunch of Christians. It's so much more than a social gathering. This is supposed to be a refuge for those that are lost. And by the sheer fact that they're not coming tells us that we're not doing all that we could. And I'm not saying the preaching's not good enough because I heard that guy's pretty good. Not saying the singing's not good enough because those people sing pretty good. But what I'm talking about is the person that goes out from here. That's who I'm talking to. The person that leaves and gets back in the comforts of their situation. Don't you dare go back to where you were and act like you didn't hear this word tonight. Don't you dare go running back to the cave because you're going to miss out on your moment where he'll have you to anoint your Elisha, where you'll get to have your miracle, where you'll get to have your blessing. Hold on long enough to be a victor and not a victim. Hold on long enough to where you can see God truly move in a way that you can have never saw before. Hold on long enough to where you can know that you know that you know that God is moving for you. I love you tonight and appreciate you. I read this and I close. Even with the most committed of God's servants may at times experience discouragement, pessimism, and a desire to withdraw from their calling. 1 Kings chapter 19 tells the story how the mighty Elijah succumbed to human weakness and how the remarkable grace of God renewed this once fearless prophet and restored him to his ministry. And that's what he wants to do with you daily. He wants you to be working in your ministry. If you're not working in your ministry, you're barely surviving. He wants you to be strong enough to do something with it. If you're not operating in ministry, you're barely surviving. He wants you to get strong enough to bear something instead of always having to pray, Lord, get me out of this. There's something that I'm dealing with now. The first part of me wanted to succumb to the fear of, well, I'll just go somewhere else, or I'll go another way so I don't have to deal with the conflict. But you know, God's done something different for me this time. I'm not afraid. And even if they look me in the eye and tell me to go home, I'm not afraid. If I get a foreclosure in the mail, I'm not afraid. What's a foreclosure when you've got a home in heaven? The doctor tells me I have cancer tomorrow. What's cancer? When I'm going to a place where there is no sickness. What's debt? When we're going to a place where we're heirs and joint heirs. It's nothing. That's why the Spirit came, so that you could look at something in a totally different way. Because without a vision, the people perish. Go ahead and stand with us. I'll ask somebody to come and sing for us tonight. I just want to open the altar for any of you that have stayed with us tonight and are in need of prayer. God bless you for putting up with me. I hope you've enjoyed something tonight. The Lord has greater things in store for you. And he blessed me with this word to bless you so that you continue to walk strong and be tall in your anointing, to hold your head up high and remember who you are, because the same God that consumed it with a burning fire is the same God that gave even those that stood on the day of Pentecost that same fire. The Lord spoke to him multiple times. Spoke to Samuel, right? Anointed Elisha. Out of all this obedience, look at how much came of it. And just think, if you get past these few things, the Bible said, if you be faithful over a few, I make you a ruler over much. When you go out of here, don't you dare forget what you've heard and turn around and forget what manner of man and woman you are. And most of all, don't come ask me to tell you how old you are, because I won't know. As they sing tonight, if you have a need, the altar is open for you.